Welcome to The Balanced Mind, a podcast dedicated to understanding emotion and achieving emotional maturity. Here we dive deep into the roots of our feelings to ask a critical question. How can we manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? The goal is to help grow in emotional intelligence, leading to a better quality of life and a more fulfilling relationships in every area of your life, from the workplace to your closest friendships. I'm here to provide you with a practical toolkit and the insights needed to navigate life's challenges with greater resilience. Hi there, my name is Dion Bicycle. As a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to helping you achieve wholeness and a better quality of life. Welcome to The Balanced Mind. Let's begin. To start off with today's episode, I want you to imagine your morning routine in your local coffee shop. The person ahead of you holds the door and you say thanks. The person behind the counter offers you your coffee and you say thank you. Then you go and sit down, and as you sit down, people make way for you for your chair to pull out, and you say thank you. By the time you sit down, you've performed the gratitude ritual 3 times in a few seconds. But let me ask you, did your heart rate change? Did you feel a wave of warmth? No, I didn't think so. You see, in our culture, a thank you has become a social lubricant. It's the oil that keeps the gears of politeness in our society grinding along. But here's the problem. When gratitude becomes a script, it stops being an emotion. We are linguistically rich, but emotionally bankrupt. So today, we are breaking down the politeness trap and looking at why your brain might be ghosting your own expressions of gratitude. So let's see how we can fix this trap. We have to define what we've actually been looking for. So, a clinical psychologist, Dr. Robert Emmons, an expert leader in this topic, says gratitude isn't just a feeling. It's a two-step cognitive process. The first step is to acknowledge a positive outcome. You have to actually notice that something good has happened. This sounds easy, but in a world of negativity bias, we often breeze right past the win. The second step is to recognize an external source. This is the kicker. You have to acknowledge that the source of the goodness lies outside of yourself. If you think you're solely responsible for your success because you are a genius, that is what we call pride. If you think it's just luck, well, that's the fluke. But gratitude only happens when you realize someone else, a person, a partner, or even God, contributed to your well-being. Gratitude lives in the humble space where we admit we didn't do it all alone. So why does saying thanks often feel so hollow? It comes down to how our brains are wired. When you say a scripted thank you, your brain is mostly using the Broca area. That is the part of the brain responsible for speech production. It's a reflex, like saying, "Oh, bless you," when someone sneezes. But authentic gratitude, the kind that actually changes your biology, lives in the medial prefrontal cortex. We've spoken about this in our previous podcast as well. So this is the area associated with emotional valuation and social bonding. The politeness trap is when we settle for the reflex instead of reflection. We've habituated the word. Just like you stop hearing the hum of your refrigerator after 5 minutes, your brain stops hearing the meaning of your own gratitude because it becomes an automatic social script. We aren't feeling anymore, we are just complying with the words. This leads me to the hard truth, performative gratitude. We've all seen it. The blessed hashtags. The public shoutouts that feel more like a press release than a thank you. Performative gratitude is an outward in. You're doing it for the audience, for the social status, or to maintain the image of being a good person. It's all about a performance you have to keep up. But authentic gratitude is an inward out action. It's visceral. It's that sudden lump in your throat or that warmth in your chest when you realize someone saw a need in you you hadn't even voiced yet. And then they act on it and they meant their words. Performative gratitude seeks to impress. Authentic gratitude seeks to connect. As we move into the next segment, I want you to audit your last 24 hours. How many of your thank yous were just social scripts? And how many actually made you feel something? Because if we want the health benefits, the lower cortisol, and the better sleep, we have to move past the manners and get to the medicine of gratitude. We are going to go deeper into this emotion. We're going to look at what happens to your brain inwardly when you stop faking your gratitude. We are talking dopamine, serotonin and the literal rewiring of your nervous system. So stick around. We've established that a hollow thank you is just a linguistic muscle memory. But what happens when you actually feel it? When you drop from your head into your heart? Biologically, you're hitting the launch button in your brain. In your brain's reward system. You see, research as recent as late 2025 confirms that a sincere gratitude triggers a simultaneously release of dopamine and serotonin. So those are the two chemicals that is responsible for your feel-good hormones. Think of the dopamine as your search and find chemical. It's the hit of pleasure you get that says, that was good, let's do it again. It creates a virtual loop. The more you feel grateful, the more your brain scans the environment for more things to be grateful for. Then there is serotonin. While dopamine is the spike, serotonin is the shelf. It's your mood stabilizer. It's the all is well signal that tells your nervous system it is safe to relax. When you feel true gratitude, you aren't just being nice. You are literally self-medicating with the most powerful antidepressant cocktail known to man. But the impact goes much deeper than just a feel-good hit. One of the most fascinating discoveries in the neuroscience of gratitude involves the hypothalamus. This tiny part of your brain is essentially the thermostat of your body. It regulates everything from your sleep to your metabolism to, the most importantly, your stress response. When we are stressed, our bodies are flooded with cortisol, the fight or flight hormone. We have been talking about that quite a lot on this podcast. It keeps us on the edge. It ruins our sleep and it inflames our system. But studies have shown that sincere gratitude acts as the direct switch off for that cortisol spike. By activating hypothalamus, gratitude shifts you out of the sympathetic nervous system, which is stress, and into the parasympathetic nervous system. This is called the rest and digest mode. This is why, after a moment of deep appreciation, you often find yourself taking a long, involuntary breath. That is biologically, physically recalibrating. Now, let us talk about the long-term change. There's a famous rule in neuroscience called the HEP law. Neurons that fire together, wire together. Your brain is like a grassy field. If you walk the same path of everything is going wrong, or you walk the path of I have to do it all by myself, then you wear a deep muddy trench into your psyche. It becomes your default path. But every time you practice a sincere gratitude, when you stop to feel that warmth, you are walking a new path. Through neuroplasticity, your brain is actually recognizing itself. Studies using an MRI scan in 2025 have shown that just 3 of 8 weeks of regular intentional gratitude practice can lead to a measurable increase of gray matters in the prefrontal cortex. So when you're thankful, there is a change in your brain, in your neuroplasticity. You are physically thickening the parts of your brain responsible for optimism and resilience. You aren't just thinking differently, you are building a different brain. So the science is clear. Gratitude is the biological superpower. It lowers stress, boosts your mood, and literally reshapes your brain and the way you think. But here's the catch, and this is what we're diving into next. Because it's so powerful, it can also be weaponized. We've all heard it. Just be grateful. It's not that worse. Or perhaps you felt like crushing weight on your owing someone because they did not do you a favor. We are going to look at the dark side of gratitude, the toxic positivity, and the burden indebtedness, because sometimes thank you is the last thing you should have to say. So now we're going to start talking about how gratitude is a biological machine. But as any doctor would tell you, the wrong dose at the wrong time can be toxic. So let's talk about the weaponized gratitude. This happens when gratitude is used to bypass or invalidate real human suffering. We see this in the phrase, at least you have your health. You know what? Just be grateful it's not worse. No, that won't help. When someone says to you while you're grieving or struggling, they aren't trying to help you feel better. They are trying to get you to stop the uncomfortable feeling within themselves. It is a form of toxic positivity. By demanding you find the silver lining, they are essentially telling you that your current pain is wrong, or ungrateful, or that you are ungrateful. And in my life, this is many times the case. People don't understand what you go through because they do not grasp our situation and the situation finds of it. Authentic gratitude doesn't delete pain, not at all. It coexists with it. If you use gratitude to mask your grief, you aren't rewiring your brain for optimism. You're just burying your trauma alive. And this is very, very dangerous. Because buried trauma always resurfaces. There is a catch that feels like a weight on your chest. Indebtedness. Psychologists distinguish between gratitude, the feeling of appreciation, and indebtedness, the feeling of obligation. In 2026, researchers are looking closer at the social ledger. This is that feeling that someone does something nice for you, but instead of feeling that warmth feeling in your chest, you feel a cold sense of great. Now I owe them. You see, gratitude is a gift. Indebtedness is a loan. When we feel like we owe someone, our brain doesn't release dopamine. It releases adrenaline and anxiety. And we feel a loss of autonomy. If you grew up in a household where favors were later used as leverage in an argument, your brain might have been conditioned to view gratitude as a trap. For you, a thank you isn't a connection. It's a received for a debt you haven't paid yet. So when you stay on this good side of the line, it comes down to a theory by Dr. Cyril Ogu called Find, Remind, and Bind. When gratitude is healthy, it performs three functions. Firstly, it helps you find people who are good for you. So it acts as a radar for good people. Secondly, it reminds you that the value of those people are great. So the value are great. Thirdly, it binds you closer to them by strengthening the social bond. The good gratitude makes you feel connected, not obligated. It makes you feel seen, not shamed. If your gratitude practice feels like it's should or a debt, it's not working in your biology. It's just another item on your to-do list. So we looked at the biology, and we looked at the pitfalls. We know that the hollow thank you are useless, and that forced gratitude is toxic. So how do we do it? How do we move from a script thank you, to a sincerity thank you? I want to give you two specific science-backed tools to trigger that heart-flooded feeling of real appreciation. We're moving from faking it to feeling it with a specified rule in the power of subtraction. Let's look at the first rule, the specificity rule. In 2026, we know that generic gratitude, like thanks for everything, is too broad for the brain to process emotionally. To trigger the medial prefrontal cortex, you must be a surgeon. You see, instead of thanks for dinner, try something like thank you for making that specific meal because you knew I had a high stress day and I needed not to think about a menu. When you name the why you are thankful, you give a signal to your brain that you were seen and valued. Or, in other words, when you give a thank you, the other person can hear and see that what they've done is valuable to you. And this is where the dopamine hits our lives. When we are specific in our thank yous. The second rule is a mental subtraction. If you're struggling to feel grateful, stop making a list of what you have. Instead, pick one thing or person and imagine what your life would be without them. Visualize the void their absence would leave in your life. This negative visualization bypasses our habituation and shocks the system into an authentic emotional response. It's often much easier to feel the value of something when you look at it from a point of view where you can imagine what your life would be without it. What would happen if that one thing is absent from your life? So let us look at some examples of how we can use these rules in our daily lives. Let's look at this specified rule. In this rule, the key is to move beyond generic social scripts and provide concrete details that trigger the brain emotionally valuation center, the emotional valuation center. So use the hello example. Thanks for helping me with my presentation. That's very hollow, very broad. Let's specify. Thank you for editing my slide last night, because you caught all my data errors and your attention to detail probably saved me an hour of questioning from the CEO. It made me feel prepared and supported. We can also say, instead of saying, I'm grateful for my friend, we can rather say something like, I am so grateful for Sarah. Specific. Because she checked in on me every day last week when I had a flu, and she brought soup without me even asking. She made me feel cared for and not a burden. So it is specific. Thank you for specific things. And that moves us into true to be truly grateful. Now let's look at the second rule, the mental subtraction rule. Now this rule involves mentally removing a positive aspect of your life to shock your system into realizing its true value rather than just listing it off. Our first example, I'm grateful for my home. Often we say this without a genuine feeling. Let us turn it around. Let's acknowledge what we have and we can say, I have a house to live in. And then we can mentally subtract it. What if I did not have a house to live in? And this helps us to visualize the absence of the house. I would be homeless, living in a shelter, worrying about where my family would sleep tonight. I'd be cold, scared, and constantly stressed. And now the result of this authentic feeling is, wow, the safety and security of me having a roof over my head is immense. I feel a deep, visceral sense of relief and safety right now. So we see it from a different point of view, and that creates gratitude. Another example, the acknowledgement of a relationship. You can say, I'm so grateful for my partner. Okay, let's mentally subtract them. Imagine waking up tomorrow and they were simply gone forever. Now, visualize the absence. The silence in the house. The empty side of the bed. No one to share a joke with at dinner. The crushing loneliness. And now it creates a feeling, an authentic feeling. A feeling of saying their presence in my life is so fundamental to my happiness. I feel an overwhelming sense of love and appreciation for our relationship. Do you see how when we look from it from a different point of view, we see things that we didn't see before, and then we are grateful for what is. And now I want to focus on how gratitude has an influence on our spiritual life. In my counseling practice, I often talk about this bio-spiritual wellness. This is the idea of a physical body and your spirit that are in constant conversation. When you practice authentic gratitude, it leaves a glow behind in your spirit long after the specific moment has passed. Think of it like a storm that clears the air. The lightning and the rain are the intense emotions of gratitude. But the residue is the crisp, clean, and clean air left behind. This is where your mood transforms into your disposition. An emotion is a weather pattern. A disposition is your climate. By constantly clearing the air with a sincere appreciation, you change the climate of your soul from one of scarcity to one of abundance. There is a big difference between a good mood and a peaceful spirit. A mood is reactive. It depends on whether things are going your way today or not. But a spirit-grounded gratitude is proactive. When gratitude is integrated into your spirit, it acts like a filter. It doesn't mean you don't see the bad things. It means the bad things no longer have the power to define your entire reality. This is what we call emotional maturity. So in 2026, landscape of mental health, we are seeing more and more that people are spiritually depleted. They are running on empty because they are only looking for the next high, the next big thing. But authentic gratitude provides a long burn energy. It provides a sense of wholeness. It reminds you that you are connected to something larger than yourself, whether it is your community, your bigger life, or even God. That connection is the anchor that prevents you from being swept away by the daily stresses of life. This is why my work focuses on symptom management versus wholeness. You can manage the symptom of a bad mood by forcing a smile, but achieving wholeness by nurturing the spirit. When your spirit is healthy and full of gratitude residue, you are naturally protected from negative factors. You become more resilient to the risk factors that lead to anxiety and depression. My goal as a counselor is to help you educate your spirit so to show you how your lifestyle choices, the people you surround yourself, and the way you process your wins and your losses all impact your bio-spiritual wellness. We aren't just trying to feel happy for 5 minutes. We are trying to build a fortress of peace within your mind that lasts a lifetime. But how do we protect that residue? How do we keep our spirit from becoming hollow again? It starts with the way we speak and the way we think. As we discussed today, gratitude isn't just a mental exercise. It's a biological and a spiritual exercise. But I also know that for many of you, this isn't as simple as just changing your thoughts. We've talked about what to do with the hollow feeling on a general level. But if you are struggling with specific triggers, or if you find that these feelings or a lack of them are constantly harming your relationships, a more personalized approach can be transformative. In my work as counselor, I am dedicated to enhancing your total well-being through a system approach. We don't just look at the symptom of your feeling, of feeling ungrateful or sad. We look at the whole person. My focus is on caregiving, personal growth, and helping you achieve wholeness in your body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's physical or mental health, We navigate your wellness together so you can achieve a better quality of life. I'm here to support your bio-spiritual wellness through training, guiding, and monitoring you as we develop a plan to facilitate self-care and make lasting changes. My mission is to protect you from negative factors and educate you on how your lifestyle choices can impact your health by giving you practical coping skills. We move toward a positive state of well-being. But to wrap up today's episode, gratitude is a superpower, but only when it's real. Don't let your life be a series of polite scripts. Your challenge for the next 24 hours. Replace 10 hollow thank yous with just one deeply specific one. Look someone in the eye and tell them exactly why they did that mattered to you, and feel the shift in your own nervous system. If you are ready to take a deeper step towards personal growth and a balanced mind, let's connect. You can contact me on Facebook, on my page, the Dion Bicycle page. You can email me at dionlabo@gmail.com, and in the subject line you can just write balanced mind. But for the first time today, I want to give you a number you can phone. That is 062-940-1327. 062-940-1327. This is a direct line if you want to contact me directly. Thank you for joining me today. And remember, you aren't just thinking your way to a better life. You are wiring your way there. Until we meet again, stay balanced and keep on working on your emotional maturity.